Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. 3 weeks ago, there was another shark incident at the Brother Islands in Egypt in the Red Sea, and the internet was full again with comments. The good and bad thing was that someone actually filmed this incident. Why was it good? Why was it bad? Well, the good part was that one could see what really happened and deduct why the shark likely bit. The bad thing was that everybody had an opinion on the issue, and it did not matter if that person had something to say or not, so the internet was flooded with nonsense. So when a bite like this normally happens, it only takes a few days until it's vanished from the chat list, but not this one. It remains still on there and is front and center for many of these chat lists. Bottom line, I read a lot of crap, and even more so was sent to me. First of all, there was the usual blame game. Blame the shark, blame the diver, blame the guide of this group who did not interfere nor teach proper procedure to his diver should an oceanic white tip approach. So bottom line is no one wants to take responsibility. I arrived a few days later at the site and even dived with the very shark, and she was fine. She liked to come closer, or most likely a little bit too close for most people's taste, and she checked me out, but that's that. That shark was no different than any other out there who happened to hang out with divers. But first things first, why did the incident happen? On the video, you could see that the shark was interested in some divers and actually swam back and forth. Nothing to worry about, right? But all of a sudden, one diver got its attention. Two things about the diver stood out. He was in a horizontal position and kept moving his legs. Whenever you face a shark, you always have to go vertical and keep your legs still, no matter what. Should you have to pivot because the shark does a go-around, use your hands to turn, but leave your legs alone. We discussed the correct procedure in the past here on Let's Talk Shark, so I don't want to go back into it again. Just one more thing here. I posted the facing rules that have been labeled the Ritter rules in the past on the Shark School site under recommendation, and there you can access it through the term research. If you can't find them, let me know. I send you the rules again. Back to the video. That the diver remained horizontal was likely due to the fact that he used a side mount and could not go into a vertical position. Well, he could, but of course, the side mount is really made for relaxed swimming, so you have to be horizontal. So in this less optimal horizontal position, there was no way he could have kept facing the shark, even if he wanted to, and pivot accordingly. So what was left for the diver was that he actually tried to pivot by keeping his frontal body in more or less the same position and kept rotating around by kicking hard. Due to the fact that he was kicking and creating water pressure, the shark then tried to get behind the diver and kept focusing on his legs and eventually then bit in his calf muscle. So why not bite another body part? Well, a shark tries to figure out what we are and goes for those areas that look or feel most common to it. So here it was the water pressure. The origin of the water pressure indicates the propulsion, so that will be the tail. So the diver triggered the bite himself, nothing more, nothing less. Could he have prevented it? Sure. But that would have mean he would have had a proper educational session on the do's and don'ts on approaching sharks, especially oceanic white-tip sharks. But that, of course, did not happen because the guides at the Red Sea have no clue either how to face these sharks. And more importantly, they actually, most of them, are afraid of oceanic white-tips. They don't teach proper procedure. It's just not there. I corrected some of the guides while I was there, and just because I felt that there is a must, and there is a must, what they have to tell their clients. All of them, well, nearly all of them, were responsive for the info and appreciated it, but some of them insisted that they know how to handle an oceanic white shark. I approached one of these guides, and he was a 38-year-old kid, and said, look, I would like to show you something, tell you something, how to really properly handle approaching shark. And his answer was, Seriously, I'm not kidding, he said. Well, I already have 8,000 dives. I don't know how a 38-year-old kid can do 8,000 dives, but hey, that's another story. But just to tell me how many dives he had, and that should make up that he knows how to handle sharks, especially oceanics, it is ridiculous. Well, funny thing was, and that one of them, not the one with 8,000 dives, showed me a video of an encounter with an oceanic white tip. Well, I haven't seen anything like that before, right? Since I assumed that the guy shot the clip because he showed it to me, I pointed out one guy who truly screwed up the interaction and made a comment, of course, but oops, that was the guide. He got the video because he was on it. Oh well, he was not happy, but he sure made my point that the divers don't know what they should do, and the guides even more should proper educate them. Since the guides don't have a clue, at least in Egypt, how to face and handle a close-up encounter or bump with a shark, I try to offer next year at least one workshop in Port Galip, where the liveaboards normally anchor, and really try to get as many of these guides as possible. Let's see if the boat owner supports such a workshop. I would assume it would be in their best interest, right? Even more so since this year we have more bites than in previous years, and even one fatality. And you can imagine this newly incident that we had, well, added up to the list already of this year, and some journalists already addressed it. Do we have a problem? Is something changing? Whatever. No, we do not really have a problem. For all these cases, always the same problem. The liveaboards that are always close by. What's the problem here? Still too often, food rests are thrown overboard, and the sharks associate that with the boats and likely also with the divers, since food is then not just available when the boats are there, but also when divers are in the water. Don't get me wrong, there was no food in the water right at this incident, when this incident happened, but that would not even be necessary at this point anymore, since even these sharks have a long-term memory and seem to understand that not every appearance of a boat will also mean food will be thrown overboard right away as well. And so it could pay off for them just to remain around the boats, and having divers in the water at the same time, that's interesting for them as well. Anyway, back to the oceanic white-tipped sharks once more. If there is a common character trait to all the oceanics, like blue sharks, oceanic white-tip, silkies, makers, and so on, it is the reduced hesitation to examine new objects. We talked about that in the past, but so let me just here repeat one issue. Food is always rather scarce. And whenever there's a novel object in the water that a shark doesn't know is eatable or not, it may be palatable or not, he can't stay back and look at it for a long time from the distance, because if another shark who has a lower threshold to approach and novel object is eatable, then the shark who waited too long will lose. So these sharks have to get closer right away. I believe that this is one of the main reasons why oceanic white-tipped sharks come closer right away when they see divers. When I saw the shark that was involved in the bite approaching me, it did a pretty straight approach, and even the first pass occurred no farther away than about 30 centimeters or 1 foot from the tip of its pectoral fin. That one can be a little rattling, I understand, but we are divers. Isn't it our deepest pleasure to see all these creatures up close? Isn't that the main reason why we dive in the ocean? If one answers with yes, but includes sharks, then this person is a hypocrite. Plain and simple. Anyway, we may have to pick up the hypocrite issue in a later podcast. If you plan to go to the Red Sea in the near future, check out our Facing Rules on the sharkschool.org website. If you can't find them, of course, send me a note and I will send you these rules right away. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.